Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. I'm glad you returned for another day in the Word of God, and here's a question to get us going on a Tuesday. Do things you read in the Bible surprise you? By this, I am not necessarily speaking about what is said, but rather where it is said. Those of us who know the Bible well will not be surprised by this statement. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. But are you surprised by where God placed this in his word? I am. And that has led me to ask, why here? As I thought about this and did my research, I have come to the conclusion that while this statement is deeply associated with the marriage of Adam to Eve, the world's first marriage, what God is saying here is about more than the marriage of man and woman, male and female. Marriage is about our relationship to the living God. Last week and last time, yesterday, we found proof of this in several Old Testament texts. God was married to Israel. God is the husband, and the Israelites are the wife. Today we turn over to the New Testament. I invite you to open your Bible with me to the book of Ephesians and find your place in chapter 5. In a moment, I will read Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 21. That's Ephesians 5:21. It goes Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. Paul the Apostle wrote this fine letter to the early Christians meeting together in the church in the place called Ephesus. This was a booming city in the western part of Asia Minor, what is modern-day Turkey. It was the capital to the Roman province of Asia. And maybe you have visited there. I have on multiple occasions, and the ruins, they're fascinating. Well, Paul wrote this letter between 60 and 62 AD when he was a prisoner in Rome. This is a church he had pastored for 3 years after it was established, likely by Priscilla and Aquila. And if you know anything about the history, the culture, and the religion of this place, then you know it speaks to the generous grace of God and the power of the gospel that a church was planted there and that it grew. Ephesus is famous for the Temple of Artemis, or Diana, that significant pagan temple of false worship. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Ephesus was rife in idolatry. Frankly, it was a very ungodly place. So no wonder Paul had to write to the church on the merits of God's design for marriage. We can give the title of what we are about to read, How to Be Married God's Way. How to Be Married God's Way. Let's get into the Bible now at Ephesians 5, verses 21 to 33. I understand this is a lengthy read. I want you to know that my intention is not to discuss all these verses, nor is this a series on marriage in the book of Ephesians. We are not going to dwell on this passage. I am only reading all of these verses for context, and with the prayer this might prompt and encourage you to read this again on your own. That prayer is especially for those of you who are wondering or struggling to know what it means to be married God's way. Often we men ask what is expected of us in marriage. Often women will do the same. Husbands do want to know, as do wives. Well, here is a very helpful and convicting and clear text. Oh, and you will hear Genesis 2:24 quoted herein. So if you are there, Ephesians 5:21 to 33. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Friends, that was Ephesians 5:21-33, and I commend it to you for your own reading and intentional reflection this evening, before the lights go out at your apartment or house. By bringing you to Ephesians 5, here is what I want you to see. Christ is married to the church. Paul clearly believes that the marriage between Adam and Eve is analogous to the marriage between the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, and his bride, the church. And who is the church? The church includes all people who have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We are members of the church, and we are wed to Jesus. The Apostle Paul brings this out in verse 23, which we have just read. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. The husband is compared to Christ, and the wife is compared to the church. And in verse 24, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. The church is compared to the wife, and the husband is compared to Christ. And yet again in verse 25, the pattern continues. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands are compared to Christ, and wives are compared to the church. Shall we keep going? Paul does. Verse 29, as Christ also does the church. Christ, the husband, loves the church, nourishes and cherishes the church, just as husbands are to love their wives, nourishing and cherishing them. And then the Apostle Paul adds in verse 32, this mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So we know that the mystery deals with Christ and the church. And what is a mystery? In the New Testament, a mystery is a hidden reality from the past that is now revealed by God. That which is hidden in the past, in the Old Testament, was then revealed to the writers of the New Testament so that it can be included in the Bible. The mystery here takes us all the way back to our text, Genesis 2:24. Notice that Paul quotes these words at Ephesians 5, verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. What is the mystery? It's this. And let me quote Bible commentator John MacArthur here, quote, marriage is a sacred reflection of the magnificent and beautiful mystery of union between the Messiah Jesus and his church. Marriage is a sacred reflection of the magnificent and beautiful mystery of union between the Messiah Jesus and his church. Unquote. Well, no wonder marriage is so very important to God. The first marriage sets the foundation for God's marriage to the Israelites and Christ's marriage to the church. Adam and Eve did not know this is what God was going to do when God made them and brought them together in the first marriage. The people of the Old Testament and all of the many marriages therein did not know that their marriages would be a reflection of Christ's marriage to the church. That was not revealed. The mystery was not uncovered until the New Testament was lived and written. And in my experience teaching on marriage, many Christians to this day do not understand the mystery that our marriages are a reflection of Christ's marriage to the church. And many definitely woefully underestimate the significance of verse 24 in Genesis 2. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This statement of God is deeply connected to the marriage of Adam and Eve, but it is more than that. The reason this statement about marriage appears so early in the Bible, the reason the first man and the first woman are wed in just the second chapter of Genesis, is because God is teaching us about the nature of the relationship of us to Him. Specifically, this first marriage points us to the marriage between God and us, as deeply reflected in Christ's marriage to the church. And that is why I wanted to share these verses in Ephesians 5 with you today. I have wanted to show you how God laid the foundation in Genesis for Christ's marriage to the church. What we read in Genesis is connected to Ephesians. And I'll say more about this tomorrow when you join me and all of us for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.